Open your Bibles with me up to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 17 here. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Now, I want us to talk tonight about us taking what God has for us. I want you to notice here that it says, whosoever can take of this freely. It seems like that we are at a place where people don't want what God's given. They're trying to manufacture something else. You cannot manufacture something from God. Come on now. So you need to be honest in your heart. You need to be seeking with all your heart after the things of God. And I want the signs. I want wonders. I want miracles. I want to see us in service. I want to see us running, jumping. And I don't care what the Holy Spirit does as long as it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And so here he says, you know, basically, whoever, whosoever, that's everybody, you come and take of the water of life freely. See, I think sometimes we, even after we get born again, we get hung up in life. And then Jesus said, "I came that you could have an abundant life." I don't care what all the naysayers are saying, and you know, there's some things going on right now that's got everybody roused up and going on and carrying on. But you know, here's the thing, folks. It's not about opinions. It's not about what you believe or what this person says or that person says or what you say. It's all about what does the Word of God say. You see, so when you're going to take of something freely, he says you need to take of the Word. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come get this freely. Come get the Word of God and take hold of what God has for us. And so that's my desire for our church, is for us to just get a hold of everything that God has and operate in it. You see, it's important that we operate in the things of God, because if we're operating in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, then the perfect will of God is going to be done. Amen. You know, we don't have to advertise. When God moves, you'll know. Amen, right? You don't got to tell nobody. It'll be God and He'll be moving and you'll be like, "Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing." So it says, you know, that the Spirit and the bride are saying, "Come." And so go with me to Matthew chapter 11. I want to just get into this just a little bit. Here, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. It says, "And from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now, when you read that, you start looking at that, man, that's kind of odd. But if you start really studying it out, you know, it says the kingdom of heaven. Well, when you start looking back in the Greek, you'll find out that it does talk about the sky. It talks about heaven as an extension. And it talks about, by implication, happiness, power, eternity. And then it says specifically the gospel, Christianity. So when you're talking about the kingdom of heaven here, and I said Matthew 11, 12, right? So you know where I'm at. And so he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about Christianity. He's talking about the gospel. He says, you know, that from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Well, if you look up violence, that means to force or to seize or to press or to suffer. So what he's saying here is Christianity has always been met with violence. Matter of fact, it goes on and it says, "And the violent take it by force." In other words, it's talking about when you get into violence, it's talking about a forcer or energetic. And then he says they take it by force, which means to seize or get a hold of. So when you start looking at this, it's talking about the fact that we as children of God need to get a hold of our Christianity and hold on to it, because there are those that are coming against it and always have. Let me give it to you, this to you in the Amplified a little bit. It helps you just a little bit. It brings out some things. It says in the Amplified here, it says, "And from the days of John the Baptist till the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize a share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. In other words, they think it's worth fighting for. They have a zeal for that. It's sad that most Christians don't have a zeal for their Christianity. Come on. You look around and see, and they say they're saved, but you don't see them showing it. Come on, can we get real today? There's a lot of stuff going on. Just because somebody says it out of their mouth, let's see their actions. Right? Come on, I think a lot of Christians are like politicians these days. You know, they say one thing, but you never do see any action out of them. Right? Come on now. You need to help me to be a little bit tonight. Sure, you fellas just read. I know we just got zonked by the Holy Spirit, but now we need to kind of get things going here. Here's the thing. If we're not going to be zealous about our Christianity, then we're going to miss out on a lot of the things that God has for us. Amen. It's true. We're going to miss out on many of the things that God has for us. And so I'm not going to take it too long a time, but I want to talk to you from this about two things that we've got to have to take what God desires us to have. Two things that we've got to have. And the very first thing, and probably one of the most important, is desire. You have to have a desire for the things of God. Why? Because you won't put forth much effort for something you don't desire. Isn't that right? You just won't do it, you know. People will invest a lot of time and money and work in something that they desire, right? But you have to have that desire. And so many folk don't have a desire for the kingdom of God and the things of God. I mean, you know, folks are desire money so bad they'll work, you know, 16, 18 hour shifts. Right? I have a guy that I watch a lot of times fish. You all know I like to fish. But this guy, I like to watch him because he's crazy. He really is. He's a crazy Cajun. And he goes into places that he calls it off the grid. He's got a winch in his boat. And he goes to places that you can't get to with nothing. He winches his boat through the woods, winches it over beaver dams, winches it over logs, winches it through ditches so that he can get to places where nobody else has fished so he can fish there. He has a desire to fish in places where nobody else has fished. And so he works all... I'm like, you know, man, catching a fish just ain't worth all that. He's sweating a lot of times out there in the water, taking and he's prying and carrying on and stuff. You know, he has a desire to do that, so it compels him to do that. Just think what would happen if we Christians had that kind of desire to go after the things of God. Come on, we hook up with a winch and we're going to pull it. We can't get through this and we can't get that. We're going to pull ourselves through that thing. So you have to have a desire. If you don't have a desire, you will not do it. Come on. I say I want to lose weight, but I have no desire to quit eating. Right? You got to desire that. Same thing, you know, with any other thing that you have going on. If you want to change it, you got to have a desire to change it. One guy asked one guy one day, he said, "How come you don't just throw them cigarettes down and quit smoking?" He said, "Because I don't want to." He didn't have any desire to. You're not going to do something if you don't desire it. When it comes to things of God, you're not going to read if you don't desire to read and learn more about God. Come on, you're not going to get a closer relationship if you don't require, you don't desire closer relationship, praying and seeking the face of God. Right? So if we're going to get what God wants us to have, if we're going to be able to take that, we've got to have a desire for those things. Man, the spiritual gifts are awesome. Come on. I mean, think about what all God wants us to do as His children, as anointed people in the body of Christ, being the body. Think of everything God wants us to do and how He wants us to operate. And most folks don't have any desire to do it. Most folks don't even have a desire to be with the Holy Ghost anymore. Amen. They don't have any desire to speak in other tongues and pray in their heavenly language. They're happy and content just coming to church and they just want to make it to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You were born again for so much more of a reason. Because God saved you not just to just sit around and wait for Jesus to come and get us, but He saved you so that you could do your part in the kingdom of God. So you have to have a desire to want to do that. Amen. I've watched and seen as you know, growing different jobs and that kind of thing. You could watch people and see the folks that really had a desire to do something on that job, to move on that job, to get more money on that job. Some of the guys were, they didn't care whether they worked or not. They didn't care if there was work or not. They were just happy to be there, and that was it. And then there was others there that had a desire. They wanted to do something. They wanted the company to make money. They wanted to be able to work and work themselves up into raises and do other things. Amen. See, there has to be a desire and a drive to do that in the natural. Well, I started strip mines when I was 17, and I had a desire to keep moving up because I know I didn't want to keep working for $6 an hour. You know, driving to Martin County and doing all that. I wanted to move up. I was at the almost the lowest rank because I was a truck driver, you know, at that time. And I wanted to go up into what they called an operator. And operators got paid more. And then I wanted to get away from that job and go to another job that paid more. Come on. I was kind of, you know, like Brother Joe, you know, does that job pay more money? Yeah, I want that job. You know, I had a desire because if I was going to work, you know, I wanted to make money. Right? Come on. How many remembers what I'm trying to... I've lost his last name. McGee, yeah. Joe McGee says this, and I'll quote what he says. He says, I've got a lot of hobbies. Working ain't one of them. I work for money. Right? So, you know, if you're going to work, you want to work for the most money you can make. You have to have a desire to do that, though. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Why would we want to get born again and be moved over into this lustrous kingdom of God where everything God has is available to us and just sit around? Not have any desire to be endued with the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says for us to earnestly desire the gifts. But you see, there's got to be a desire. You've got to want that in your life. God operating. Well, you know, I know that there's more responsibility with it. But I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather walk around with the responsibility, knowing that God might use me at any time in the gifts, as to walk around and I can't help nobody. Come on. I want to know when I lay hands on somebody, something's going to happen. You say, well, does it always happen? I don't always see it happen, but I believe it happens. Come on, and that's all we can do is we just do what the Word says and know that you're anointed because you've desired God to use you and here's your opportunity. Just go ahead and let Him use you. There has to be desire, the first thing. Now, after the desire, the next thing is there has to be expectation. Expectation. After you've decided you're going to go after and you know you've got the desire to get the better job and all that, then your expectation is what? Getting paid. Getting the money. Whatever it is you planned out, whatever you wanted to do, you have to have an expectation that you're going to get the results because you had a desire to do this. Right? That guy I'm telling you about, the crazy guy, he is so excited when he gets into that new thing of water where nobody's been. And he could catch a fish that long and he's just tickled. Well, you know, if you went through that much, you'd be tickled too. But he has an expectation of getting in there and catching the big ones because nobody else has been there. See, what if we got an expectation for God to start using us to do signs, wonders, and miracles? Come on, think about that now. Why? Because you're an anointed one man, woman of God. God has anointed you so that He could use you, but if you don't have any expectation, guess what? You're not going to get anything. See, that's the trouble. We don't get an expectation. We're not expecting God to move. We're not expecting God to do anything, and we get exactly what we're expecting, which is nothing. Come on now. If you come into this house tonight, you know, expecting nothing, you probably got nothing. Amen. See, we need to come in. I like what Rod Parsley used to say. He said, you know, the atmospheric expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. He said that years and years ago. And it's true. When we start expecting God to do something, guess what? Expectation is part of faith. Come on. It's part of your faith. So when you've got expectation, then God starts moving in that because God moves in the area of faith. And so we have to have expectation. I'll give you a little example here. I'll not go take you over there. But if you go over to Acts chapter 3, remember the guy that's laid by the gate. Peter and John's coming along there, and he's been laid at the gate every day, you know. Jesus had probably walked by the guy. Most likely he did. But he's been laid there, been that way a long time. And you know, here they are coming up to the gate, and the Bible says he looked at them expecting to receive something. Now, I'm sure that he probably was expecting to receive an alms, them to give him some money and that kind of thing. But here's the thing, he still had an expectation. Now, Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand and he lifted him up and he began to run. Now, here's the thing I want you to see about that. He had an expectation, not particularly for what he thought, but here's the thing. When you start getting an expectation, guess what God can do? Exceedingly abundantly, above all you could ever ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. See, when you have an expectation, you may be expecting this, but God can blow your mind. He can blow you away, but if there's no expectation, nothing's going to happen because there's no faith in operation. And so if we're going to take the things of God, you and I, we've got to start getting expectation and raise our expectations. Did you hear what I said? I said we need to raise our expectations. That means we're going to have to start believing bigger. Look at your neighbor and say, "You need to believe bigger." See, because we're just believing. Sometimes we get satisfied right where I'm not satisfied before we're at. I want to see us begin to believe bigger. I want to see miracles manifest, full manifestations taking place. We say, "Why do you want to see that?" Because I want God to be glorified in this house. Don't you? Come on. So we ought to be coming in here expecting that. We ought to be expecting lost folks to come. Expecting signs and wonders or miracles to take place. Because you are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are the anointed ones. Come on now. See, you're part of the ones that God wants to use in this end time revival that's getting ready to take place. He wants to use you, but it may not always happen in the church. It may happen out there. But if you don't have any expectation for God to use you, He can't. Because He's a faith God. Right? The Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Right? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now listen to this. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Well, most of us can get that one down, okay? But then we got to believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. See, a lot of folks have a hard time with the reward part. I'm just amazed at all the things I'm reading on Facebook now. All the doubt and all the unbelief on things, you know, and I'm not saying everything that they say is wrong, but there's so many you can read what they write and see how much they don't believe. They have no comprehension or understanding of all the Word of God. They've got a particular thing. But it's also twisted up in the denominational belief that they have, and they're unable to open up their heart or open up their eyes to see deeper into the Word of God. Come on, listen, folks. There's things that happen every day in churches that's not God. I've been in a lot of services where things happen that wasn't God. Amen. I've watched some goofy stuff take place. But you see, just because somebody gets goofy don't mean that you throw out the whole service because somebody else may be over here getting blessed of God. Yeah. Brother Hagin used to talk about having wildfire in the church and, you know, he'd talk about, "I can handle some wildfire." He said, "No fire is where I have a problem." Yeah. Right? You know, I don't want to have a dead church. Now, I'm going to handle anything that gets out of order. Don't get me wrong. We'll handle that. But here's the thing. We can't limit ourselves and shut down and say, we're not going to let that happen no more just because somebody got in over an error. You know, for example, if somebody stood up and gave a message in tongue-wise preaching, well, we're not going to quit having messages in tongue just because somebody messed up and gave it at the wrong time. Right? And they would be out of order to do that because the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, and if he's doing something through me up here, he's not going to be doing something back there to cause confusion because he's not the author of confusion. You see? But you've got to be careful, though, because people will say, well, see there, now that's what tongues will do to a church. No, that's just somebody that made a mistake. Somebody that needs to be taught, somebody that needs to understand when to operate. That don't mean that even the tongue they gave was wrong. Just the wrong timing. You see, so we need to understand that as we begin to have expectations and desires and believe God for things, God is opening up and God is using the body of Christ more than He ever has. Amen. See, that's what you were put on this earth for, is so that you can take the Spirit of God out into a lost and dying world. So you've got to have the desire. And then you've got to have expectation that what you do and what you're desiring is going to get the results you expected it to get. When I lay hands on somebody, I expect them to get healed. I expect them to get what they came for. I not because of me, but because of what the Word says. Amen. It's the Word. And so when we do what the Word says, then God will do His part. But if you don't have any expectations for that to happen, I'm not talking about your feelings now. I'm talking about knowing that the Word says this and we're doing what the Word says, so I expect the Word to perform or to bring forth. You know, folks don't like to put a demand on the Word of God. They say that's blasphemy to put a demand on the Word of God, you know. They say, well, you can't make God do anything. Nobody trying to make God do nothing. God's the one said He'd do it. Right? Now, here's the thing. If God said He'd do it, then if He don't do it, then that would make Him a liar. And how many knows God's not a liar? So I'm going to just believe what God said, what He said. He meant, what He meant, He said. It's in the Word. He put it down in the Word, so I'm going to just receive it. But see, if you don't get a hold of that, if you're not able to take that, then see, you need to get back and say, Lord, you know, I want to see this in the Word. I want to see Your will here so that I can receive this. I have an expectation, and I want to see that expectation come to pass from the Word of God. Amen. See, too many folks, we just look around and we watch everybody else and we just kind of go through the motions of going through church. But you know what? We cannot just go through the motions. We have to believe that God's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, here's the thing. If you look in the Word of God, you'll find out that God has already given us everything that we need pertaining to this life. He's already given it to us. Now, here's the thing, though. We have to have a desire to go after what He's given, and then we got to have an expectation that we get it. I expected to get filled with the Holy Ghost because I had a desire. I went after it. I had an expectation. Guess what? I got a manifestation. Hallelujah. Well, it's the same thing with everything else when it comes to the things of God. We need to have that desire because God's already said you can have it. Right? So many folk don't believe what the Word says, but He said it. You know, you get in here and you start talking, especially people have been talking about miracles and signs and wonders lately here because of some things. And, you know, so many folks, you hear them talking about, yes, but now God's not God's will to heal everybody, you know, and read the Word, how so many suffered and all that stuff. Yes, that's there for examples for us. But read the Word where God says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest be in health. Right? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Yes, those things took pass, but that don't mean that's what God wanted for them. Matter of fact, you know, I know it talks about that they chose to do a lot of those things. that was what they took upon themselves. I know people that choose to do some certain things for themselves. There's people that choose to consecrate themselves to the Lord, and there's certain things they say between them and God. You know, I'm not going to eat this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not, you know, kind of like the Nazarite vow type of thing. You know, and that's between them and God, but that don't mean that's what God told everybody to do. You got to look, see what he said to do in His Word. Well, He said He wanted you to have an abundant life. He said He wanted you to have an expectation of having abundant life. If I don't have an expectation of having an abundant life, I'm not going to have one. If I don't have an expectation of receiving my healing, I'm not going to receive my healing. If I don't have an expectation of prosperity, I'm not going to have my prosperity. Amen. I'm not going to be able to walk in the blessing because I don't have any expectation of it. So see, here's what I want. I'm going to close out here. I want us all to see that God's given us all this. But if we don't take it, then it won't do us any good. We'll miss out on it and wonder why. And get mad probably and jealous at somebody else because they got it. That happens all the time in the church. Well, you got to track back. Look, see what's going on. What have they done? What have they sown? What is it that they've consecrated to God? How is it they came about getting what they have? And once you see that, maybe you ought to think about doing that way. Doesn't mean everything doesn't work the same way, but you got to see there was a sacrifice made. Most people never see the sacrifice. They just scoff at the manifestation. Well, look at there. It must be nice. Well, it is nice. Right? Got to be. Amen. Praise God. Why? Because that's what God wants you to have. All along He wants you to have it, but you had to get that expectation to get it. For a long time, I had no idea God wanted me to have stuff. All I knew is I was saved. That was it. I didn't know anything else about this life. But I found out that God wants you to enjoy this life just like we're going to enjoy heaven. Now, I know heaven's going to be so much glorious, but I'm just saying God didn't put you down here just to suffer, just to work, just to barely get along, just barely to make it. No, He put you down here to be an example of a believer, an example of one of His sons and daughters. And yes, we do work and we do what we're supposed to do, but God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. He wants to be able to use you in the kingdom so that people can see there is a God that really does bless. That Christianity is more than just going to church and it's an old, rough old grind and we're just barely getting along, barely making it, don't know what we're going. There's so much more to life than that. Come on. You know, understand, the heathens live better than that. Come on now. How much more does God want us to live better than the heathens? So let's get a hold of this thing. Let's get out there and let's take hold of what God's given us and let's watch it manifest throughout our church and watch people start saying, what are y'all doing? Well, we just believe in God because we have a desire and an expectation for God to bless us. And we're going to walk in that thing. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost done enough preaching for us tonight. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You. Father, help us, Lord, to open our hearts and our eyes to everything that You have for us, Father God, that we'll see, God, You moving in a big time way, Father, because of we're believing You, Father, because we're desiring You, because we have an expectation of You. Father, help us not to let ourselves to get down, God, but to look up and understand that we have an anointing upon our lives that destroys every